Intervju Radija Študent. Eugene Hoods iz zasedbe Gogol Bordello. When did it start? I don't wish exact moment. All I don't know, and I hope it will end. Preteklo soboto smo se preko telefona pogovarjali z glasom ameriške gypsy punk zasedbe Gogol Bordello, ki bo jutri nastopila v ljubljanski cvetličarni. Eugena Hoodsa smo na dan po nastopu na festivalu Rock am Ring prebudili nekje v Nemčiji. V pogovoru je spregovoril o Sloveniji in Slovencih, o pripravah na turneje ter o predrugačenju skladanja pesmi skozi leta. Poklepetali smo tudi o ustvarjanju v multikulturnem bendu, o usporednicah med latinsko-ameriško in vzhodnoevropsko kulturo, nekaj malega pa smo rekli tudi o Braziliji in južnoameriški literaturi. Prisluhnite.
Eugene, hello and welcome on Radio Student.
Da. Hello.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, what's going on, yo?
Well, we have a sunny day here in Ljubljana, so everything's fine.
Good.
What's up with you? You're in Germany, right?
Yeah, doing festivals, Rock and Park, Rock and Ring.
Yeah, so how were the shows?
Very good, man. Very good. Band is in a good shape, so the shows are good.
So I apologize if I woke you up, apparently.
Yeah, you know, it's the late time to go to bed.
Yeah, I know.
You get up.
So on Wednesday, you'll be playing in Ljubljana. I think it will be your third time in Slovenia. Do you perhaps have any memories of the concerts you had here or any particular thoughts about Slovenia?
I remember that the Slovenia is, first of all, always, I mean, first of all, it's a cute little beautiful country, but I remember that I think our last shows there were very good, and in the beginning I think that people were not really quite sure, actually. Because I think that Slovenia had a bit of a identity crisis. They couldn't decide if they're Slavic or if they're German.
That's right.
And so I don't want to get too psychiatric on your ass here, but something like that was going on in the air. In the peak of Balkan madness, Slovenia probably was the last one to arrive to start partying to those beats, even though they're practically Balkan.
Yeah, I mean, you're quite right about this, because we really have this broken identity.
Right? There you have it.
At the same time, we could say that we have something in common with all the Eastern European countries, as well with Ukraine. And so, yeah, we have a common history.
You have more in common with them than with anything else.
Yeah, that's right. So
who are they fooling?
I'm sorry?
Who are they fooling? I mean, I can't even understand your language, basically.
I could understand Ukrainian also a little, I think. So now to your band. You've been playing and performing for 15 years now, and I was wondering, have your rehearsals and preparations for tours changed in comparison to, I don't know, the tours you had in 2005, or is it all the same?
Of course it's changed. Everything is changing. That's what the life is about. It's one continuous change. We used to rehearse like 5 times a week. Now we rehearse like once a year. We're just not in that stage of life where we learn chords, you know, and beats.
Yeah,
we already learned that. Now we're playing with it.
You get over that.
It's a different thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Every star has its own trajectory. It flies through the space and, you know, gains momentum.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in a gained momentum already. So it's right now much more of a less activity of actual practicing. It's more of writing and enjoying playing it.
Yeah, the joy of performing, basically.
Yeah, I think our height of drilling and rehearsing was at Super Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Just playing material, it was so fucking complicated that our drummer once just got up and ran through the fucking door in a studio, just drilling up the fucking wall. Of course, 20 minutes later, we were doing the take of the same song.
He got pissed, right?
But, yeah, so, you know, it's like, I don't know if it's necessary to keep doing that.
Mm-hmm. So you released Pura Vida Conspiracy last summer, and with this album you kind of moved past this idea of gypsy punk. You also said that it's got a more symphonic feeling to it. How has this process of songwriting and production changed in the past few years?
That's an interesting question. Well, in truth, you know, all the conceptual and verbal material that goes into describing the band and music is basically like a big kind of a word game. You know, it doesn't mean anything.
Mm-hmm.
So it's more like for the press. So gypsy punk or symphonic enzyme homeosonic rock and roll is like whatever the fuck that means. It's really not what it's about.
Yeah.
It's experiential music. That's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
On the bottom of it, it's more from a school of songwriting that's driven by experience rather than reading exotic books and then, you know, you know how some songwriters do it.
Yeah, they read
about some book about, I don't know, Madagascar, and then they write a song about how they went there. You know, it's like that. So this is not like that.
Yeah, like, because it's coming
from a different place.
Yeah, because I read that you, Summer, you said that basically your songs are documentary music, you could say.
It's for the most part documentary, but you know, of course there is some surreal imagination that can apply any second. But it's really more of laying it out how it comes out. Mm-hmm. I hate structuring things in general. Like I have to do it to some degree, but I try to give it a structure that it's kind of asks for, instead of trying to format it to some structure that's like established as a good structure.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been going on for many years. That's why oftentimes people were like, they would think, for example, listen to a song, Ultimate. It doesn't have any orthodox song structure whatsoever. And so people who just met the band, they would literally think that I'm struggling to write a song that's going to go A, B, A, B, guitar solo and a chorus again and done.
Mm.
But see how idiotic it can get? It's like, I wrote songs like this like 25 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
The songs, you know, that are standard.
Yeah, with the structure.
And from then on, I long ago abandoned this idea, and I'm not disinterested in this idea.
Mm-hmm.
So my material is kind of coming from this place of pure, trying to give it like energy as pure of a stream as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it works less, sometimes more, but that's the way.
Okay, so since we've mentioned gypsy punk, I know that too much has been said about it, but I wondered, what was your attitude towards all this hype that emerged around your band and this genre after your album Gypsy Punks and after Super Taranta? How did you feel about it?
How did I feel about it?
Yeah, I mean,
I felt normal about it. I mean, I felt about it the same way as I felt about, I don't know, about playing music 25 years ago.
Yeah, like,
you know?
Yeah, it didn't change it.
Well, first of all, I was on tour, and I was still basically living exactly the same lifestyle as I was living years before, and it didn't really, I mean, I wasn't attending any Grammys and, you know, cocktail Hollywood parties. Like, that's just not what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't exploit that side of the things. You know? I just don't really care about that side of the thing. So.
Okay, yeah, I see. So now let's move on. You've always been eager to consume and to internalize various cultures and also to incorporate their influences in your art. And I know you could say that Gogol Bordello is a transnational manifesto of brotherhood. And I was wondering, what is it like to be in a band with members from all over the world?
Oh, it's an endless source of comedy. That's what it's like. Basically, that's how that's the humor is the lubrication for the whole thing. Because otherwise, you know, for anything really. I mean, no matter how much, how outgoing and brotherhood your attitude will be, there will be still anchors in your native culture, mm-hmm. and the difference will remain to be there.
Mm-hmm.
But if you take your initial root so serious, then you're gonna be probably pretty fucked. you know, it's just like anybody's root is just as good as yours, basically.
Mm-hmm. We're all the same, basically. Yeah.
So it's like that, you know. It's not to be taken too seriously.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I also know that you've always been in love with Latin American music and culture in general. So. Could you tell me what's in your opinion, this relationship between Latin American and, on the other side, Eastern European culture?
Yeah, it's like a question. I can talk about that for the next 3 days nonstop.
Do you think it has something to do with history, or I don't know?
I don't fucking know if it has to do anything with the history. I think it just has to do with energy of soil and some other things that we can't really comprehend. But the fact is that it's very kindred spirits. Although Latin American people are, of course, a lot more joyous than Eastern European.
Mm, yeah, that's
it's
quite
a fact.
True. Mm-hmm.
You don't need to pull them by the hair to get them into good mood. They are pretty much already in a good mood.
But,
you know,
perhaps it is because of the weather.
Especially, well, it's not all that, but it's some people focus on a good feeling and some people focus on another kind of feeling.
Mm-hmm. So,
Eastern European people kind of, because probably of Christianity and things like that,
yeah,
focused on suffering too much.
Yeah.
So Latin America is also very Catholic and all that jazz, but you know, because of the native vibe, because of the Native American tradition and just more tribal feeling there, I think it gives them a lot more joyous and more natural look at things.
Mm-hmm.
And so Eastern European and Latin America somehow connect there on desire to reach the joy of being.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, you know, Western civilization, they're not even trying to reach any joy. They're just trying to ring up the numbers. You know?
So with basic what you said go on.
Well, like Anglo-Saxons, they're not even interested in joy. They're really not.
A more conservative
you
person.
Know, they're just doing another thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing a thing that they need to be doing. But it's not a joyous thing, you know. It's like they're the worst lovers and they're the worst.
Mm-hmm.
So. And other things. Then they have the best technology and best, you know, production and great musicians.
Mm-hmm.
As well, but you know, people who are more focused on emotion, like Latin American and Eastern European, they don't have any technology, and then they just have tons of fun instead. So, who's the winner, who's the loser, you know, go and take your own fucking pick, dude.
So it's basically what you were saying is the idea behind your album Pura Vida Conspiracy. At least I saw that you said that this album kind of explores human potentials.
Well, to sum it up in another way is Pura Vida is more like conspiracy, is more like ability to wake up in the morning and walk down a street that you walked a million times before and see it like you've never seen it before. Listen to music like you've never heard it before and basically realize that being alive is already quite fantastic as compared to being like a pile of dust, you know? Mm-hmm. So, you know, somehow this idea is buried for the most people.
Mm-hmm.
Not for all, but for most people it's quite buried, and they just completely lost their touch with primal feeling of life. Mm-hmm. And that it's not about getting anywhere, it's not about going anywhere, it's not about becoming somebody you're not. It's just like actually pretty much already pretty fucking awesome.
So is that kind
even if you don't become anybody who known or anything like that, yeah, it's already awesome
just to be here in this world. Yeah, I agree completely with you.
I mean, in my personal experience, the more popular I was getting as a person, mm-hmm, the less joy I experienced from my own life, and so which led me basically to escape that. I mean, living in New York where everybody knows me, it was basically becoming into something that people seek that, but I don't understand the stimulation of that. I mean, basically you couldn't go and get coffee without getting into three random conversations about, you know, I don't want to be bothered about that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I moved to Brazil because I'm quite anonymous there. Like, people know the band, but they don't really. Even if they see me on the street, they don't think that it's me.
Yeah, I completely
think it's like a guy who looks like me.
So, since you mentioned Brazil, I don't know if you're really fond of football or if you follow it. Because, well, I don't. But
no, I'm not a fan of soccer.
Well, me neither. So we're there's two of us. But I was wondering, you know, there have been these protests against the World Cup and so on. Have you witnessed the protest, or have you felt this? I mean, how do people feel in Brazil about this, if you have any ideas?
You know, Brazil for me is like a place that I love pretty much. It's like a geographical low of my life. Mm. So I'm not gonna like criticize it in any way, because it's not gonna improve anything anyway.
Yeah, we can leave it out.
So they're trying their best, man. Mm-hmm. They're trying. I mean, they don't really know how to build roads. So when everybody started criticizing that they haven't built roads, it's like, fuck yeah, man. They don't know how to do it. What's the science? Let them try, you know. They do other things.
Okay. Now, besides your music career, you've also been involved in film. And, well, I saw one of your interviews at the Berlinale in 2008, and there you expressed a wish to make your own film. You said that you would like to do a Eastern Spaghetti Western. So are you still planning to do it?
Eastern.
Spaghetti Eastern Western. Are you still planning to do it, or?
I have many boxes. I mean, they're digital, but
mm-hmm,
have boxes where ideas go. Some of them develop rapidly and some take years. So those couple boxes with like scenarios,
mm-hmm,
they keep growing, you know. And as I say, I don't really like to push anything into speeding it up. Mm-hmm. So when that happens, you will know about it.
Okay, great.
It's going to grow on its own natural speed.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Perhaps you have the surname of one of Europe's greatest writers and dramatists in your band name, and you also have literary references in your song. So have you read anything particularly interesting recently, which you would advise to us?
Actually, yes. I've been discovering a lot of things about Argentina recently, and on the literary end. And I don't even know how I overlooked Borges and Cartazar and Sabata.
Great that you mentioned
before.
Borges.
because it's so intense. And it's so soul-searching, and it's a very deep place, mm-hmm. Argentina,
mm-hmm.
and it's a very you're talking about like the hard, intense reality, and with a surreal imagination around it, that seems to be the epicenter of it.
Mm-hmm.
And just how much those writers love Buenos Aires and how much they're romanced by it. And just in general, like that spirit of like a deep kind of fascination with your own environment is kind of not common to me.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, like I don't have a serious attachment to Kiev.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not the city that I want to write about. I like it. I don't really want to write about it. It doesn't come to me. But I'm curious about people who just go into that mode, and despite all its hardships, I mean, and how soulful they are around about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's quite amazing. Yeah, I mean, also in Brazil, I mean. Like, as soon as you get to, this is like deviating from the literary question, but literally, as soon as you get to Rio and you get into a taxi, like the cab driver is so in love with Rio that you just, you're like, you will always find it to be amazing.
So it's like a tourist guide or what?
No, it has nothing to do with tourism. It's about genuine love for the place that they live in.
I understand. Yes.
They don't give a fuck about your touristic agenda.
Mm-hmm. Great. I didn't know about it, really. I have to visit Brazil for certain. So.
Yeah.
Well,
you'll check it out at some point.
Sorry?
At some point, you will check it out.
Yeah, hopefully. So, yeah, basically, that's all. What's up next for Eugene and the band?
Well, let's just get where we're now.
Okay. So a summer full of concerts and, well,
yeah.
Fun. Eugene, I would really like to thank you for this really pleasant conversation. And, well, I wish you all the best in the future, and just keep on spreading your message, because I think that it really means a lot to many people.
Yeah, I think so too. And thanks for your support, and looking forward to rocking in Slovenia.
Okay, so bye.
Ciao. Thank you, man.
Ciao.
V današnjem Mereš intervjuju smo poslušali pogovor z Eugenom Hudsom, ki z zasedbo Gogol Bordelo nastopi jutri zvečer v Ljubljanski cvetličarni. Z njim se je pogovarjal Jaša.
Guess anything you wanna do, you gotta do it on your own. For a love of you, for a love of me, for a love of everyone who's yet to be free. Borders are scars on face of the planet. So heal away my alchemy man.
cicatrices. Hay gente que te engaña y se roba tus raíces. Cuando uno es guerrero, uno no puede rendirse. No dejes que tu dignidad nadie la pise.
Borders are scars on face of the planet. So heal away my alchemy man. Rise again with a fistful of hearts and a radical future. Wappa! We rise again with a fistful of hearts and a radical future.
Wataka wataka, here we come, ataka taka. Wataka wataka, here we come. Wataka wataka, here we come, ataka taka. Wataka wataka, here we come.
Intervju Radija Študent.